This week on RSBNB Update, we learn that necromancy arrives on August 7th. The demonic skull continues to cause problems, and the Max and Comp Capes get new Pride presets. Also, Stormy joins us to discuss the issues of the soul die and how it relates to Clewers, the economy, and microtransactions. This is RSBNB Update, episode 941, recorded Thursday, June 29th, 2023. Get a clue. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. Big RuneScape news this week in the world of necromancy, but we'll get to that in just a wee bit. Tanis, you're here as you are each and every week. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Shane.
Also joining us this week is Stormy, a RuneScape streamer, max 5.6, does tons of clues. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone.
And you guys might remember, last week we had a discussion on the soul die, and I feel like the soul die has been an electrifying topic in the community, and we wanted to get a perspective that was different than ours. So I reached out, and Stormy, you volunteered to have this discussion with us, so I look forward to having this discussion on the soul die, because I haven't thought in this direction before, so it's going to be interesting to hear your opinions on this. So welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, sweet. I'm looking forward to it. It should be good.
Is there anything that you'd like to introduce yourself with, a brief introduction to the community? I know Clue Scrolls is in your Discord bio right now. You stream somewhat regularly on Twitch. Anything RuneScape related you absolutely love that you'd like to share with the community before we begin?
Yeah, look, for those of you who don't know me, I go by Stormy. That's how everyone knows me. I've achieved a thing or two in RuneScape, and I like to pretend I know what I'm talking about. So,
and for that, for podcasting, that's what you need to do.
If you don't know,
you pretend, and then you learn along the way. But of course, Tanis can be found in game at Tanis79. I am at Shane12088. We also have our Discord at rsbnb.com/discord, and our French chat at BitsBytes, where you can join us. But if you want to follow along, we do have our full show notes at update.show. And with that, we have the release date for necromancy, August 7th. Where does this fall for you guys? Sooner than you expected? Later than you expected?
Sooner than I expected.
For me, definitely sooner than I expected. I know it's been a pretty dry year so far in terms of content, but I was still expecting this to be later on in the year, so definitely sooner. And I think the general sentiment is also sooner than people expected as well.
Tanis, when were you leaning?
Yeah, no, this was sooner than I expected. I thought it would at least follow Double XP.
It's going to. They're actually moving the summer Double XP to July for this.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, that's beautiful.
And there's more. Rather than 48 hours of Double XP this time around, you get 96. But I know you're going to get excited about that. But let's just go through this necromancy release trailer here first. So, necromancy, first new combat skills in summoning. We know a bit about it. We've learned a bit. We're going to be learning more over the next few weeks on it. Stormy, where do you land on this, since you weren't here in our initial coverage of this in terms of the PVM that you do and such? Where does necromancy, or how does necromancy feel right now looking in?
From what I've seen so far, it's pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to it. I think a fourth combat style is going to be very challenging for them to be able to balance correctly. I think it's going to be a very careful balancing act, because especially I find the issue with it is that it's releasing as an official 120. Mm-hmm. So because it's releasing as an official 120, if it's not the most damage output combat skill, and a level 99 combat skill like magic, for example, is doing more damage than a level 120 combat skill, what does that spell for the future of magic range and melee?
Right. And, you know, I forget who said this, but I think it was said that with this, we're going to see a focus on necromancy for a while after it launches. And, you know, with that, the updates to magic ranged melee are going to kind of, you know, slow down a bit for that. And, you know, I feel like they can't just completely ignore those going into the future. I don't think they would. But at the same time, you know, that's a good point that this needs to be a cohesive combat ecosystem in that, you know, with RuneScape's first 120 combat skill, where exactly is that going to land? And we're not going to know for a while on that until the 120s are hit and, you know, people optimize their rotations and builds and whatnot that you have.
I think if you think about it from a different point of view and go, let's just forget the names of combat skills exist. And I told you there were right. four combat skills. And their levels were 99, 99, 99,
which one's going to be the best, right?
Which would the most powerful combat yeah. skill be?
And you know the...
So if that's not the case, then that's where I think they
yeah, and you know, is Jagex going to do that? Because for somebody who comes in who, you know, has been absent from the game for a decade, and they see 120 necromancy, this goes to 120, they're going to expect that to be the most powerful. And if it's not, well then... questions will be had, but as we know, they've been really coy on all the balance and stuff, and you know, rightly so. That's still probably in the works as we speak about this. And you know, wonderful trailer here in terms of the cinematics, in terms of voice acting too. That's something that they always nail is the sound design and the voice acting on these things. I find really wonderful.
Yeah, I wish we had more.
More voice acting in game. Yeah, hey? Yeah. We'll have to see if the first Necromancer speaks in game or if this is primarily just geared towards the trailer.
I believe he actually does have, I think it's confirmed he does have in game voice.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good.
Cool.
It's going to be fun to see the interactions between Death and whatnot there. And they also, with this, outlined a bunch of steps about people. What people can do to prepare for necromancy, in that there's going to be, you're effectively going to want, you know, at least 15 smithing to make the necromancy weapon upgrades. And this is something new we're learning this week. Once unlocked, each tier of upgrade will require smithing level 5 levels lower than the tier. So tier 90 would require 85 smithing and so on and so forth. And the same thing goes for crafting. And then when it comes to rune crafting, the highest level of runes that you're going to be able to make is the Miasma runes. Those need level 60, so not too far there. On the front of the necromancy prayers, base necromancy prayers will require prayer 10 with the strongest variants available at level 46. But to access, of course, the best prayers and curses, you need level 99. Potions, necromancy potions are at levels 11, 79, and 93 for the regular, super, and extreme. And then, of course, we know about the overload salves, that those will automatically get their necromancy variants, so you'll want to stock up on those before necromancy launches. But we go to what you wanted, Tanis, and what you've wanted for a while, more double XP. Double XP. Live on July 28th, giving an extra 48 hours of double XP before Necromancy's launch on August 7th. So you're gonna have the full 96 hours this time.
The full 96er?
Yeah.
Or the old 96er?
I don't know.
That's an old movie, Shane. Old John Candy movie.
Oh. You
had to eat the...
are we sure it's 96?
Well, it says an extra 48, right?
I think that maybe just implies the fact that it's 48 additional, like 48 hours of DXP, the way that reads to me.
Okay, we'll have
96 would be a lot.
Yeah, 96 would be, but then why would it say an extra 48 hours? Or is that just...
I think it's just from zero, like an extra 48, because we have zero.
Okay, well, that definitely confused me then in the posting. Because you would want that in terms of leading people in, right? You know, the carrot into the stick. But I guess double XP is enough at that point. So,
yeah, I think that's why they did it right before Necromancy.
Because this one normally
gone. Yep, you use double XP right up until the Necromancy launch. We'll get everyone back in with DXP, and then ta-da! Now you can stick around and play Necromancy.
And you know, this one normally happens in August, so it's good that they pulled this back for that.
Well, and they still. did the same. They did what I expected them to do, which was to follow a double XP with a big content drop.
Yeah.
That's been, you know, traditional in the past. So I didn't expect them to move it up like this.
It's only smart marketing.
Yeah, no, this is good. And, you know, 48 hours is that's
enough.
That's enough. You know, it's okay. I'm still trying to lower myself, lower the bar from fresh start. You know, like it's still getting out of my system. This kind of helps you taper it down, you know. But I want to go back to necromancy for a minute.
Shane. Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised that it is this quick. Preparations have revitalized the game. You know, I would say over the last
You've been hunting bones, haven't you?
Weeks. Just a lot of stuff, right? Like, I mean, I've been doing. You know, I've been trying to get subjugation. I've been trying to get the stuff from Corp. You know, which I have most of, but there's probably two drops I won't have by then. We'll see. And I'm hoping going into it that it's like. I agree that if you look at it purely on a numbers, it should be the best.
Mm-hmm.
I think there would. My fear is that Jagex fears pushback if that were to be the case. Right? That there would be too much pushback on them. Too much.
Well, no, I think that they will have probably addressed that with the content creators that went in, because, you know, most of the content creators that went in were combat oriented. So I'd imagine that question probably would have come up in the NDA discussions and whatnot.
Well, I think it's more likely that it's their explanation for the way that it would be is that it's more of, you know, I think it's going to be the entry way to PVM.
Yeah,
the combat style is the entryway. You know, if it needs 120 stats to make, I mean, you got to give me 30 levels. You got to spot me 21 levels, right, to even be to even get close to you guys. So I mean, I don't know though. Well, I mean, because on one hand, it makes sense mathematically, but on the other hand, I don't know. I don't know if people will accept it.
Yeah, and you know, I have a feeling we're about to see a massive push in terms of necromancy advertising and PR coming from Jagex and whatnot to address these very points on this, because if there's one thing we know from years and years of experience is that RuneScape players in the best of times are resistant to change, to put it in a simplest form. So but
I'm still really looking forward to this though, and I did not get hyped until the reveal.
And that's a combat skill. You've come a long way from not wanting this when we first heard the name in December.
Yeah, you know, but I love anything that revitalizes the game and makes it active and makes, you know, every time we have a news post like this, or we know there's going to be content coming that kind of gets things moving again, you know, kind of
the tentpole
gets some liquidity.
Yeah.
But it does. It makes the stuff that I typically do funner, because I'm not doing it for free, right? Like I'm actually, you know, there's a market, and you know, it's I like these kinds of things. It always kind of gets me hyped. I'm almost sad that we only have till August to
enjoy the hype.
Yeah.
Stormy, what's the biggest thing you're looking forward to with necromancy?
I was looking forward to the race. I had my sights set on potentially being able to achieve front page. Depending on what happens in the next, you know, couple of weeks with real life circumstances and planning and all the rest of it, I don't know whether or not our race is kind of up in the air at the moment. And that's really all it was about for me. That's what I enjoy most about new skills. So.
All right. Sounds good. With that, we're going to move on to the patch notes this week. The biggest change to comp and trim this year: added Master Quest to the trimmed completionist cape requirements and edited the requirements that appear on both, so they only appear on the Master Quest cape. And with this, Reaper Crew has been added to the trimmed comp cape, and Globetrotter has also been added to the trimmed comp cape. And of course, this is based on the polls that Jagex did a couple months ago. I feel like Reaper Crew was a no-brainer. I felt like Master Quest wasn't going to pass the community, but it did, and Jagex went ahead and added that one to it. How do you feel about these changes, Stormy? Specifically, I'm looking at the Globetrotter one, but feel free to jump in on either of them.
Yeah, sure. Like, you're probably asking a bit of a biased opinion here from me, because being trim comp cape myself, and I'm what I would consider to be a true trimmer, if you've heard of that term before. I basically think that in terms of trim comp capes specifically, that cape should have anything and everything added to it. That cape should essentially be the unattainable cape that only a handful of people should be able to achieve, because it has every single
facet. So the original design from way back.
So, yeah, but since then, obviously, we've had a ton of more discoveries, you know, countless more discoveries that could be added onto that trim comp cape. There, I can guarantee there's probably hundreds of things that the JMods have never even considered adding to the cape that are completable pieces of content within the game. So them adding Globetrotter, Master Quest, Reaper, that sort of stuff to the cape, you know, I welcome that sort of stuff. The more the merrier on the cape. Load that thing up, put anything and everything on it, and I'd be happy.
What's one of the pieces of content that's not on there that you'd like to see added to trimmed in the true trimmed wheelhouse?
I would go ahead and say all boss logs and all clue logs.
Oh, wow. Okay, that would definitely be in that category. I saw.
Like, why not? It's completable. It's completable content. So that's where I stand on it.
I saw a news post from one of the gaming outlets the other day that somebody in Old School had actually just completed all the boss logs for the first time in Old School. So, okay, and you know, with that, I always wonder with this, because I feel like when these capes came out, they were so exclusive and they deserve to be exclusive today. I always wonder what the perspective is from folks like yourself who, you know, see the discussions in the community regarding this about whether it goes one way or another. Mm. And then, you know, in the true trimmed community, for people who would want that as an example, what does it feel like when people want the capes to be made easier to get in their own perspective, when, you know, in reality, it's 100% understandable to want the trimmed completionist cape to be the anything and everything cape.
Yeah, I think RuneScape's kind of lucky in the sense that this whole this word trim exists in the game, right? We get a 99 cape and then we trim our capes and this sort of stuff. So I feel as though the completionist cape could be that cape that is achievable for the people who are complaining about hard achievements being on the cape. And then let that trim completionist cape be the place where everything and everything goes onto it. And if you want to go over and above and get that, then yep, so be it. And if you don't, then you still have access to the completionist cape. However, I'm not naive enough to realize that, like, what I'm suggesting is an insane amount of undertaking and a huge amount of hours.
Right.
You know, completing all boss logs, completing all clue logs, this sort of stuff can take 20, 30, 40,000 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of gameplay is just not feasible for the average RuneScape player. I completely understand that.
Yeah, and we know the age-old thing where, you know, Jagex puts a list of things to get in front of somebody and they'll just complete it for the sake of completing it, right?
Yeah. And then also just recently with the AOD change and stuff, you know, that sort of thing happened because of the backlash that it was too hard to complete. So, you know, if you all of a sudden make the trim cape or the be-all and end-all and add anything and everything onto it, what's to stop it just from a couple of years down the line being turned into AOD V2, where people are like, the trim comp cape's too hard, nobody can get it, you know, and then it just, you know, things get reverted. So, you know, what I would like to see and what is ever going to happen are two completely different things.
That's fair.
But I think that a step in the right direction is what they've done. They should continue to load it up as best they can. And stuff like, you know, Master Quest Cape, Globetrotter, Reaper Crew, these are all achievements that completely belong on the cape, in my opinion, and they can continue to add stuff to the completionist cape as the years go on.
Yeah, and I think it's been said before, the best summary of this is that, and I think this is Mod Jack's summary, is that, you know, to be in the comp area, you just need to have interacted with the content and, in effect, completed it. But taking it to one next level, that trimmed level, is that exhaustion level where it's so much more. And, you know, we're kind of heading in that direction with this. Tanis, anything on comp and trim before we move on to Woodcutter's Grove fixes?
Well, I mean, I don't feel strongly one way or another about trim, because that's not in my future. I agree that every trim should be the highest standard, the highest bar, the highest thing you could possibly achieve in RuneScape, meaning you've done everything. I think other than just being tiresome or exhausting or grinding, because every RuneScape, I mean, if we had a problem with that, we wouldn't play this game. I think the major problem people had was the RNG involved, right? So it's like, Shane has wonderful RNG. I have never gotten anything worth a shit in the 12 years I have played this game. Ever. Never. So, like, you know, could I exhaust myself and do trim? Yes, of course. But with my luck, I'll be 75 in a nursing home still trying to do it. So, you know, I mean, I kind of get both sides of that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If there was a way to achieve it through hard work and just through pure...
I think most of the you know, insane master quest requirements have had thresholds added to them where the drop just happens, I think, on that. So it's not as bad as it used to be on that.
Right, but this goes back to a discussion that we had about drop tables and boss logs and logs in general, right? Like, all the problems that we pulled out with that are, you know, they exist. they're part of this discussion.
Fair.
Okay. Yeah, bad luck mitigation's a whole entire podcast episode. So
yeah, we've been wanting to do that at some point. In terms of that, we covered Mod Jack streams on that earlier in the year, and those were certainly interesting. So, Woodcutter's Grove, wood spirits can now be used directly from the wood box. This is something that Parnassius wanted last week with this, and they did that. Nice to not have to worry about the inventory spaces on that. And, you know, of course, the jury's still going to be out to see where the wood spirits land in terms of use, since they don't have that link that the mining spirits have with the super mining juju potion. There was a bug that was hotfixed in the middle of the week where the Dwarven Chain Axe was no longer giving XP and produce when in double resource mode. They also fixed the impling spawn rates from the tree shaking scrimshaws after they were spawning too frequently following the woodcutting changes. And there was also an issue that meant that players were unable to get a refund for leprechaun composting services. And then finally, the safe space and healing areas of the bank deposit spots has been added back to all the banks in Fort 4 and 3. They disappeared. But then we go back to this community hit list, and this community hit list has been netting subsequent patches ever since it came out. And we got a big one this week in terms of the wilderness fixes regarding the demonic skull. Now, the demonic skull is no longer tradable and will drop for 500,000 gold on PvP death. Okay, that's fine. But there's also this other one, that withdrawing a demonic skull from the bank within the wilderness will no longer automatically opt players into PvP, and they will receive a warning first. Players can still be attacked in the wilderness while they are still in possession of the skull. And the way I see this here is I see this as a 1-2 punch, as what I can imagine as preventing a very common lure from happening, right? That's the angle I see on this, in terms of not being tradable.
There's like such a massive issue with demonic skull and the way that it still works even after the patch. Yeah. Like, I think Jagex probably really needs to evaluate the data on how many people do we actually have PKing on RuneScape in 2023, and should PvP just be removed entirely, like full stop, 100% entirely, because I can almost say definitively that the only people who are PvPing these days are griefing demonic skull skillers.
And we had this exact same conversation in August last year. Why not just completely remove PvP? And then they take the next step of removing the threat system, but then we see that we're still working around these demonic skull issues. And I get
now
this.
They've removed the level system now as well, so they've removed. We've pretty much got one tiny little facet of PvP left that's probably not actually being used for genuine PvP anyway. Why do we still even have this where, like, that? The demonic skull is causing people to get lured and all the rest of it and scamming and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, just let the skillers have their demonic skull and get their 350% runecrafting XP. Like, nobody, I don't think, is that big of an issue anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, it comes down from the legacy of wanting the wilderness to be risky. And I think we learned that, you know, they couldn't do it with the random mob things that get you blapped out there. I sent poor Tanis into the wilderness one day to check on some skilling thing, and what did you get blapped by? Like three Hydrix dragons or something?
No, lords.
Oh, okay.
I got sworn by lords.
Yeah. And yeah, I know a person who went into the wilderness and unknowingly skulled, lost their grace of the elves to a wyvern. So, yeah.
And it comes down to, you know, how do you add that element of risk if they want to keep that legacy of risk available in the wilderness to get those, you know, like you said, 350% XP rates? How do you do that without having this item in game that creates that narrow sliver of PvP?
I think that maybe... I'd be interested to know the justification on why it's even really required anymore. I mean, I understand 350 plus XP rate is a big increase, but if you just like look at the danger of that you're actually introducing by equipping a demonic skull, you're equipping it, you're running from level 1 wieldy to level 4 wieldy, and then you're talking to a wizard to teleport. Now, that's obviously dangerous because PKs can kill you, but like those PKs there that are killing you are quite literally griefing. Yeah. So... I don't know. I'm just really against the whole demonic skull thing in general. It's causing more issues than it's solving, I think.
Yeah, and you know, I would wager that based on what we see, the next step is to probably just remove PvP if this doesn't work, because like you said, it's been remove ever since August. So,
yeah, I mean, remove both of them for all I care. Take the skull and PvP. Make them both out.
But then what if that means that you can't have the wilderness XP boost for things like runecraft?
Yeah, that's the thing that's going to be the issue. I 100% agree. Take both out. Yep, get rid of PvP, get rid of the skull. But you're going to have a massive issue with runecrafting balancing if runecrafters lose 350% XP boost from running through the abyss.
That's what it comes down to. And, you know, I would also wager that probably at some level bans out there, the wilderness agility course is also competitive, as with safes, if you're using the skull. So...
Yeah, perhaps. Don't know those rates myself, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. All right. That's a topic for another show, as we say here. Wink, wink, folks. Portable fairy rings now teleport beyond level 30 wilderness if the player is not opted into PvP. That's fine. That's within all the other changes that were made.
Fantastic patch for clues, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, your clues, but also my farming runs. So, yeah, high five on that. And then another one, Tanis, for you. Text is now uniform in terms of its scaling across all NPC chat boxes.
Yay. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Into general patch notes for this week. The RuneScape Pride Parade was this week. And before this, they updated and increased the number of Pride-themed presets available in the Max and Comp Cape Customizer. And we went through this and were able to determine that I think these are most of them that were added this week. But this week they added aromantic, gay, trans femme, trans mask, demigender, genderqueer, polysexual, polyamory as in addition to all the other presets that are out there. And a lot of people don't know this, but there are presets on the Macs and Comp Capes where you can enter those names in and you'll get a preset that was designed by a JMod or fits with one of the various Pride themes out there. And the wiki has a full page listing of all of these presets. We'll include that in the show notes. Here's an odd edge case. Tuska's Wrath no longer deals 10,000% damage against non-Slayer targets when using Slayer wildcards.
Oh.
Okay. Interesting, hey?
Yeah. That is... But if you're using Slayer wildcards, it turns it into a Slayer creature anyway, right?
Right, but imagine that it was a non-Slayer task. Like, you couldn't get them as a Slayer target, right? Because the wild card gotcha. Only made the Slayer monsters
all right.
give Slayer XP. So this is a off the wall idea. And you know there might be some low level task where chickens are a Slayer task. But imagine you could have this as a chicken that wasn't a Slayer task, and it would give that 10,000% damage boost or 10,000% ability damage. So. All right, we're going to move on and talk about our clue scrolls and the soul die. But before we do that, I want to thank our Patreon supporters for this week. You guys have voted for quite the topic that we're putting together for the next monthly bit. But this week in particular, I'd like to thank Alfie S., Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvids L., Big Huge Rat, Chunk the Monk, Cycle RS, Dramafreem, Duramax, Free Milk, Jacob G, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jeebus, Jesse W, Keski, Ling 01, Maniac RS, Mohan V, Nate the Great, Nick G, Pernasius, Ricky A, RS Nerdherd, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Shirt Pants, Stephen W, Cabby, The Naked Captain, Stabbing Goat, Tim, Tom V, and Zant. Thank you everybody for your support. It truly means the world to us, and I can report that we will be doing a monthly bit on archaeology mini sites. The monthly bits are our monthly bonus shows where we talk about a single topic in great detail for about an hour or so. And anybody can sign up to these and gain access to an entire back catalog of almost 60 of them now at patreon.com/RSBNB. That's available for as little as $1 a month, and in doing so, you're helping to fund the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. We also have our VIP tier for $3 a month, where you'll get a special VIP rank on Discord, including chat channel access and a special mention on the podcast at the start of the month, plus high-quality stereo versions of the show as well. And if you want to give the ultimate gift, we have our $5 insider tier, where you'll receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. And a little voice in my head has told me that there's going to be some Patreon changes coming for the first week of July. So watch out for those. It's going to be some of the things you guys have asked for with this. So a bit of a tease on that. Maybe some new rewards, maybe some new milestones. Who's to say? But nonetheless, keep your eyes peeled. Patreon.com/RSBNB. Thanks, everybody, for allowing us to do what we do here. It's just so fun.
And we just got to give a double extra shout out on Patreon to a Big Huge Rat for having the most amazing name.
I know, that's a wonderful name, isn't it? I know. And that's the thing. That's the thing you learn doing this podcast is that, you know, you look at other games and you see, okay, that's someone's gamer name, that's somebody's real name. But RuneScape names are just so unique in that regard. So
fantastic.
I love seeing them. All right. So the soul die. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, we talked about this last week in terms of the die being added. And I will fully disclose right now that I turned in about 22,000 last wills this week, and I got one of the dies myself from that. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind as
Congratulations.
Move through that. Yeah, I'm just holding it in my bank. The value on that has been crashing, and I don't really want to use it on anything right now.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say hold on to them until they make graphical changes before using. But,
yeah, and that's where we want to begin, the graphical changes here. What did you think, Stormy, of the initial model that we had in-game? Because it was like, oh boy, that's interesting, but I want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so you probably will find me being critical of Jagex in this segment. It's not because I hate Jagex or anything like that. I definitely just do feel as though that in topics like this that are very controversial, I just need to be, you know, critical and give honest feedback. And it's very, very clearly obvious that the Soul Die was a copy and paste recolor of the Aurora Die. And that shows through, especially with the graphical issues that the Soul Die launched with.
Well, yeah, it's just green from, you know, you paste what the Aurora Die was and you just, you know, hue shift it to green pretty much, right?
Right. However, that is true because ultimately, like, dyes are, they are recolors, right? Like, a dye is a recolor. However, when the Soul Die launched on certain types of armors and weapons, when you were running through the game and looking at your character's animation, you could actually see the fact that the Soul Die had Aurora color in it. So it was not only just a copy and paste recolor,
but it was also
a incorrectly copy and paste recolor because you could literally see the fact that it also was an Aurora die. You could see the blue mixed in with the green.
And if you look at the screenshot they have posted on their news post, you can actually see that in the very bottom by the right foot there.
Oh, can you?
Yeah. Yeah, you can. Yeah,
I didn't have a look at that.
Yeah, you can. You can.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
You know, I'm a big fan of green, and I was thinking, boy, it would be nice to use this on something. But, you know, just based on how the previews looked, I'm not going to spend that much money to have it look like that. And, you know, in reality, it might be a better investment to throw elsewhere. So we have, you know, there's been a thread on Reddit with Mod Doom seeking feedback on the visuals of the Soul Die, and what we have here this week is we have a series of three concepts that they have put forward about the way the dies would look being updated on this. Which of these three do you prefer, or does that go far enough, or where are you landing on the visual concepts that they're showing on the news post this week, Stormy?
I don't have them up, but I did look at them when they launched them. They definitely look better. I'm very happy with the way that they, I guess, have handled the situation. They got a big amount of negative feedback pretty much as soon as it launched and said, you know, this is a problem. It does not look good, blah, blah, blah. And you know, they've pretty much gone straight to the drawing board and gone, yep, we're going to address this. So absolutely props to Jagex on that. And then they've come out with, you know, three perspective designs and then also taken additional, you know, text feedback on those designs through socials.
And they're also showing where exactly it would be animated with a bit of a red overlay on it too, which is neat because obviously concept art, you can't see how it moves.
Yeah, and then I also did see some notes as well on those Reddit threads about the way that the animation actually works. At the moment with Aurora and Soul, they kind of have like this skyboxy type effect.
Yeah.
And it seems to be, as I said, I don't have the thread up, but the general sentiment kind of seemed to be that the players almost preferred the kind of like shadow die effect where the flowing type animation is more attached to the armor itself and not the world.
Right, and not the way you're rotating the camera. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it seemed to be that the sentiment was that that was also the preferred animation style as well. So I believe that Jagex has taken that into consideration too in the redesign.
Yeah.
So if the Soul Die does end up coming back with that redesign of the proposed colors and then potentially also the change from a skyboxy type die to a more armor-facing flowing effect. I think it could end up being re-released as a, or recolored essentially, to something that's actually really quite nice to look at.
Yeah, and you know, when I think the first item to do that was the Aurora cape from that Yak Track, Winter Yak Track 18 months ago to utilize that skybox thing. And then they did it again with the Aurora die this past winter. And, you know, I'll have to admit it looked okay on the cape, but I really wasn't, you know, much for having the texture of an armor piece change based on where you were positioning your camera. Tanis, do you have any preferences to which way these dies are going to land in terms of how they look?
All look the same to me, my friend.
I'm assuming that's the color blindness speaking.
Uh-huh.
And the contrast, right? Okay, ignorance, that's fair.
Ignorance is bliss on that one. He's just like, yeah, these things are all, they all look the same to me. We're all good.
Yeah. Fair enough, fair enough. So what I wonder from this is that at this point, do you just go based on the feedback that's there, or do you pull something like this because of the community interaction that they had on, you know, soliciting feedback on the visual angle? Do you pull something like this? Because it's visual. It's not going to, you know, affect game mechanics and such. And it's something that, you know, if you get a lot of people liking the way it looks, they could potentially throw down money for it maybe. So is this maybe a good thing to pull, I'm wondering?
Yeah, look, I mean, polls in RuneScape are so tough. I think that due to the fact that this is just a visual thing, it is just a graphical thing, it's probably something that is more easier to poll. But they are going to have to be able to set up a platform of polling that shows not just a still static picture of what they're proposing.
Like show the actual thing and, you know, let people rotate it.
They're going to have to kind of be able to show off the model properly in order to be able to actually get valid feedback from it, I feel, in the terms of a vote.
Right, because we can't tell what this is going to do when we move these around just looking at the static images here.
Yeah. And then also you also have the issue of that color displayed on a website in the form of a picture translates differently in game as well.
And let alone what kind of graphics cards you have, right? And we know
and there's that as well.
We know there's that huge spectrum for RuneScape players in terms of in terms of graphics. So I hope, and what I'm seeing with this and what I feel is that in terms of what they wrote, that these changes are inspired by your feedback. The team have fired up these three new concepts focused on improving the visual design of the die. They'd love to hear from you now on what you most like about these three concepts we're presenting, as well as dislike, and it will inspire the final in-game improvement. So with that, I want to say that I think they did a pretty good job in, you know, nailing down the criticisms on the visual side of this. And if they walk through with this, I think that probably addresses most of the concerns visually, right?
Yeah, visually they've pretty much covered off on the concerns, I would say. They did, honestly, I've got to give Jagex some credit. I'm not just going to nail them all the time. They did a fantastic job addressing this feedback very quickly. And now it's just going to be a matter of whether or not they follow through and get it in game in a timely manner.
Because the promo ends on the 7th. So
right, and if they recolor the soul die in 6 months' time and it's not available anymore, everyone's gonna be like, "Well,
what was
the
point?
I want a soul die now, but I can't even get one. I pay for it with GP."
Exactly. And then that takes us to clues and how this works on the clue angle, which is something that I, you know, have very little knowledge of in terms of what the thought and feelings of these dies are in the clue community. And what was your first thought when you saw this die be announced, given where you stand with clues and whatnot?
Yeah, so my first thought was, okay, here we go, die number two in 6 months, and die number two also coming from MTX. Here we go, you know, dies are now pretty much MTX exclusive. That's the way it seemed to me.
Okay, and when we extrapolate that out in terms of past dies, we look at, you know, like the Barrows die and the Ice die, for example, that were Clue Scroll exclusive rewards on this. My question then, and is it the biggest question I think I have, is that is the problem on the Clue side? We're going to put the MTX question on the side for later, but on the Clue side, my question is it that dies were initially an item for Clue Scrolls, and as such, based on what we've seen, like you said, two dies in 6 months, we're not likely to see any more dies come to Clue Scrolls in the future.
Yeah, so I guess one way to think about it is that, you know, if you're a PVMer, you go and kill a boss, you get weapons and armor.
Yeah.
Right? That's just a generalization. And for Clue Scrollers, it's you solve clues and you get dies. So from a clue scrolling perspective, the fact that you are pretty much losing your exclusivity to something else is a really hard pill to swallow.
Okay. Okay. And then one thing that we kind of briefly touched on last week on the same sort of exclusivity vein, we were getting there, but we weren't sure. What if, you know, this became a trend in that, you know, every 6 months or so, maybe yearly, they add a die like this to the game through a microtransaction promo. What if at some point in the future they add the soul die, the Aurora die and whatnot, to the clue scroll drop tables, master, elite, wherever they land? Would that be a compromise in the right direction?
This is not really something that I am going to speak to kind of in too much detail because I don't want to speak for the Clue community and be wrong.
Fair.
However, what I will say is that...
Let's just go with your own opinion on the matter.
Yeah, so my own opinion on the matter is that we're kind of in a situation now where having two of these dies come out, two of these MTX dies come out, I almost feel like we're kind of at that point of no return now, where if they go ahead and add a third die and it's MTX exclusive or it's MTX as well, then it's like, okay, yep, here's another one. However, they could also go ahead and say, yep, we're adding Aurora dies and Soul dies to clues. And just letting you know, we're going to add a third die in the future, and then that one's going to come out on MTX, and then we'll add that one to clues as well. I think that really takes away from, I guess, the prestige of the existing dies that are in the game. I do like kind of using the PVM example in conjunction with this.
Oh, so you're saying because it's not something that is exclusively the Clue Scroll wow moment, it takes away from the prestige.
Yeah, I think that the best way I could probably put it is, how would you feel if next month a tier 90 weapon appeared on Treasure Hunter?
You know, we've had that discussion before.
We're the wrong people to ask.
We're probably the wrong people.
I mean, your audience will answer.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
The audience will answer. And that's the point, I guess, I'm trying to make.
Sure. Or if you know, Tony's Matic, for example, was a Treasure Hunter option, right? When that came out.
It's all this sort of stuff. Like, you know, these things come from places. And it's also, on another note as well, it seems kind of... it does seem very predatory from the Jagex kind of, you know, live ops team, in the sense that they know and they are well aware of the desire and the want and like for players to die items, like dying items in RuneScape with, you know, your shadows and your barrows and your bloods and all the rest of it. That is like a big popular reward space.
Yeah, that's end game fashion scape.
Exactly. And for Jagex to have, you know, for them to have kind of tapped into that reward space through, you know, a microtransactions model, it just seems,
I want to talk about the model in particular a little bit after on that, because it becomes a question of, you know, where the team wants to go, and I think there's two very distinct paths on that. But when it comes to Clue Scroll economy, do you think that if this became, you know, a 6 month affair, we could see a point where things like our existing dies, like Ice, Blood, Third Age, and whatnot, that those would see a devaluation of GP in game?
Yeah, if this was a consistent, you know, 6 month thing, we're getting a new die every 6 months and it continued for years on end, which it very well could, you know, to have a look at Double XP, for example. Double XP used to come once a year, then it came twice a year, now we have Double XP four times a year. And this is, Double XP comes from the Live Ops team as well, right?
Yeah.
It's the same team that actually deals with microtransactions. So, you know, for them to have done a die and now another one 6 months later, there is absolutely nothing stopping them from doing another one in Christmas and then another one in the middle of next year. And then before you know it, we could potentially be seeing a die every quarter It's not unreasonable to have that assumption.
Right. And it would be like RuneScape's lockbox in how other games do that pretty much at that point.
Right. And eventually, right, also you're going to run out of colors, okay? So what happens when the main color palette's used up and then all of a sudden they start introducing dyes that look similar to blood dyes and look similar to third age dyes? The devaluation there and the economy issues that will happen when that happens is pretty serious.
Yeah, and one thing else that I don't know if you have seen anything on this, but I remember when Aurora first came out, there was a discussion about this that we were told that it was too difficult to add new dyes to the game because it necessitated a creation of every item that needs to be dyed. And yep. I'm wondering if you heard if they have, you know, found a way around that, or if they're, you know, making exceptions in this case because it's, you know, dollars on the spreadsheet.
Yeah, so I don't think that they have, I don't think they've made exceptions necessarily for the fact that it's dollars on the spreadsheet. I do think that over the past, you know, year, they've gone back to the drawing board on that coding that made the dyeing of items extremely difficult. There is no confirmation on whether or not it's fixed and now it's an easy plug-and-play system. However, it does seem like that is the case. So I suspect that, you know, the issue of there is too many permutations of items to allow new dyes to be introduced, I assume that issue is gone, given the fact that we've had two dyes in 6 months.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of the way I was leaning too, but obviously they're not gonna comment on something like that when it comes down to, as we know, the contentious microtransaction angle.
And it also contradicts what they've said in the past as well, because they've said, yeah, it's too difficult for us to add new dyes. We can't give new dyes to you guys, it's too hard. You know, I know the exact quote, actually. I won't say from which JMod, but a JMod did state on live stream that it was too much of a coding problem to integrate new dyes, and then, you know, 6 to 9 months later we got the Aurora, so I can only assume that those back-end systems have been cleaned up.
Yeah, and, you know, this leads to, I think, where I want to go next on this. Tanis, anything before I...
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the alternative would be, though, that, like, they're putting in like more resources to make it right, which could be why the original Aurora die found its way on Treasure Hunter. But here's what I'm wondering. Okay. I mean, honestly, this almost looks like the first smart thing Jagex has done MTX wise, maybe ever. Because they actually did go where the demand is, and that's not usually what they do. And what I'm saying is, like, there is a demand kind of like for dyes, right? So I don't begrudge that they're trying to go in that area, but what I think the best solution to that is if you're going to put that on MTX, then you need to give the Clue community something.
You went exactly where I was going to go next. You read my mind.
Well, they need a drop that replaces that. But my question to Stormy is if that were the case, then, you know, is that more palatable? Is it even a solution, or is it the fact that the die is such a prestigious item, you don't want it on Treasure Hunter, right?
I think what you're basically asking is that, like, if Jagex ended up coming out with a statement essentially saying, yep, we're going to give you guys a die every 6 months, and then 2 months after the die event finishes, we will add it to Clue Scroll Drop Tables. Is that kind of what you're looking for?
But I'm taking it in the way of a different item, right? Like a different item, same value, a rare, another tradable rare, right? Like we've seen in the past with green Santa hats. Or,
yeah, that was my question. Like, if this becomes the new norm,
Okay,
I was going to say, and this goes into, I think, what you want to say, is that if this becomes the new norm and it does have the effect of, you know, in effect ruining the clue scroll dies as the prestigious item. What do you do about that from the clue scroll side? Because, you know, clue scrolls have been a fixture of this game since 2004 in terms of, you know, just that special aha kind of treasure hunt wow moment, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. my question to you as somebody who does lots of clues is how would you fix that? Would you, you know, add new rare items to clue scrolls? What would you do in that regard?
Yeah, so I think that the way that this could have gone is instead of tapping into the clue scroll as arguable most desirable reward space where they knew they were going to make money from it, as Tanis said, like he doesn't begrudge them for making this decision because from a business perspective, you know, they are 100% making a killing off this, just like they did Aurora, and the money is rolling in and there's no denying that. So absolutely brilliant business move, A plus to Jagex, good on yous. However, if they are going to kind of offer Clue Scroll as something else, my question to that would be, why didn't they just put that something else on MTX and let the Clue Scrollers continue to just have their dies?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
No, that's a fair question.
And, you know, I think that we're also severely handicapped in what we can do in terms of cosmetics, because there's only so far you can go with the RuneScape character model, as we know. You know, you look at other games out there, Fortnite and any other game that drives itself based off of, you know, Battle Pass skin mechanics. RuneScape clothing and outfits pale in comparison to that. And, you know, Jagex can only go so far with the character model they have. So that's why, you know, my question is, you know, what would you do for Clue Scrolls? Would you add like a new set of hats? Like, what would you do? I don't know.
You'd have to make it, it has to be desirable correctly. If that is kind of makes any sense whatsoever. When I'm talking about that, I'm referencing kind of, at the moment, we do actually have other items on Clue Scrolls that, you know, are kind of rare and semi-valuable. This is, you know, the likes of our third age armor, our second age armor from Masters, and our druidic armor from Elites. See, the problem with these kind of alternative items, right, is that they aren't consumable like a die
is.
So therefore, you know, their value diminishes over time as more and more come into the game. And then you also have the issue of, you know, these cosmetics that are second age, third age druidic, third age melee, you know, the mage, all the rest of it, they haven't really stood the test of time. And given that they've been in the game for so long and they're still generally worth less than what a die is,
right,
I kind of fail to see how Jagex is going to be able to offer a cosmetic to Clue Scrollers that will not just end up down the same path as a second age or a third age.
Right, like right now, 495 mil for the second age plate body.
Right, okay. And this second age plate body, if I told you to go and get one in your lifetime, you might never see it, ever. That's how rare it is. But it's only 400 mil because it looks like crap.
And once again, that goes back to the wider discussion of, you know, being able to create rare cosmetics like that in the RuneScape engine. But, you know, like you said, there's also the angle that they're not inherently consumable. So
yeah, that is a big part of it. But yeah, the thing that definitely worries me the most about offering Clue Scroll as some other form of cosmetic is that I feel as though no matter almost how good the cosmetic is, the way I see it, it's just going to go down the same path as a second age, third age, or
fair.
Druidic.
Well, that would be like what's the hat that like the Orlando
Smith's hat? Right.
Yeah. So I wonder, like, did we put ourselves in a corner when we constantly told Jagex no cosmetics? That's what we want. We can pay for cosmetics. That's fine. And then when they did it,
you're right. That's like, what people always ask for with microtransactions. Give us cosmetics.
We didn't mean like this. We meant it a different way. But I mean, I could see how your wires would get crossed, right? If that is the feedback that you have been getting since MTX started.
You see, Jagex just recently, they've started doing something that has been very, very good for their business, and that they could have done in place of dyes. So we could have left dyes as clue scroll items entirely, forget Aurora, forget Sol even existed, or just have them launched as clue scroll items. You guys have heard of the ability overrides coming from Treasure Hunter.
Yep.
Yes.
Extremely, extremely desirable overrides coming from Treasure Hunter that could have 100% been used in our promos, like our Christmas wrapping paper and Last Wills.
Yep.
Instead of a die.
No, that's true. And an example of where, well, they've never actually, I don't know if they monetized it before, but look at what, I want to say Zombie Walk, right? That one might have been monetized.
That was, yeah, that was on MTX initially launched through Treasure Hunter, yeah.
And it's still valuable now. Like, it's so...
Yeah, even after its relaunch. So the Zombie Walk peaked at around 7 or 8 bill GP because it was believed to be discontinued. Yep. The same with the Assassin's Walk, Plague yep. Walk, all these sort of things. But these walk overrides as well, quite popular, valuable cosmetics coming through Treasure Hunter that could be used as our wrapping paper rewards.
I agree with that.
But instead, they wanted to...
But instead, they went for the dyes.
Instead, they got greedy. They got greedy, and they went to the dye route, and this is where we are now. Whereas they could have had a successful event, probably to the same scale, if not similar, by simply using something else that was very popular, such as a walk override or an ability override, or a combination of multiple. Like, you know, have an event and have your gold presents and it's got a really rare ability override in it, and then have a purple and that's got a less rare, you know, ability override in it, and we can kind of give that out to everyone because it's just a purple. And,
yeah,
and you know, the gold override will be worth a billion GP tradable because, you know, everyone wants it and it's rare. And it'd have the same effect as what the die would have.
And if we unwind all of this, you start to see that, you know, there was no controversy with the purple Halloween mask. There was no controversy with the green Santa hat. But there's
nowhere near as much. No, because they didn't tap into existing parts of the game.
Exactly. Yeah. And for some reason, I also feel like the green Santa hat and the purple Halloween mask are not nearly as coveted as the dyes were, as the walks were, as the ability overrides are. Is that just my perspective, or am I wrong on that?
No, they're not really as coveted. I think when it comes to the Santa hats and the Halloween masks and stuff, you know, the originals from, you know, 2003, 2004, they're always going to be the originals. And the fact that we're getting kind of recolors of those, nobody really seems to mind that much because the originals are so far discontinued that we just know they're not coming back.
Yeah.
So people aren't really too fussed, you know, but they're still popular items. People still wanted them. They still hold, you know, good enough value. They still made for, you know, engaging events that people spent money on. And yeah, just from what I've seen, I would say, going back to my original point with these kind of ability overrides and stuff, they do hold like such value and such prestige that I almost feel as though if Jagex had have gone down that route instead, from a business point of view, they would have almost made similar money, if not more.
Yeah, I would go pick up an Azure Death Swiftness.
Right.
But then on the other hand, you have things like the Sunshine override that came from Yak Track, which, you know, puts that in an entirely different category of accessible on that. So it's just a little bit weird how there's differentiation between that, but I do see your point that they could have gone with any of these other options for this, but instead they went with the die. And I mean, I'm going to be 100% honest. Zombie Wonk is annoying, and I wish I could turn people's noises off for that. But I know people who have got that just for you know, the noise, and now it bothers people on that. And you know, maybe if they did a Halloween promo, that would be the way to lean in on this instead. So,
and that's what they did actually with when Zombie Walk got re-released after it was believed to be discontinued, it actually came onto Halloween MTX promo through the H Oddments store. So I think it was, I can't really remember, 25,000 or 50,000 H Oddments or something along those lines. You know, it dramatically decreased the price of the Zombie Walk, but it was still extremely highly like sought after. You know, it'd been discontinued for quite a while. Walk overrides are very popular. And I don't have the data on it, but I can be very sure in saying that Jagex made an absolute killing off that MTX promo.
Oh,
and
yeah, people absolutely. People
weren't really overly pissed about it. The only people that were pissed about it would have been, you know, your merchers hoarding the tokens.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's fine.
But everyone else was kind of happy with it. I actually was a Zombie Walk owner from the original, the original days, basically. So I knew that I had, you know, a rare and valuable Walk Override. And when I heard it was being re-released, I wasn't pissed about it. I was just like, yeah, cool. I mean, it's being re-released. Everyone can have it now. It did kind of lose a little bit of sense of prestige for it. But, you know, at the end of the day, I was like, yeah, this is fine. It's whatever. Whereas with the die thing.
Yeah, it's going there next.
That's where I'm drawing the line and I have an issue with it because it's tapping into that pre-existing gameplay.
It's that pre-existing gameplay combined with the prestige and there were other options. You know, when you start looking at what's available, there were other ways to do it as well. Okay, interesting. I think I'm about ready to move on to the microtransaction side of this. Tanis, any further follow-ups or questions on the... Clue Scroll side?
No, I think we teased that out pretty well.
Yeah, all right. Now, microtransactions, we need to be 100% honest with this here. Because it's not on Treasure Hunter, they don't have to release drop rates for this. The wiki is, of course, compiling all of that, and, you know, at some point in the future, they could get themselves into hot water potentially with this if they're operating in jurisdictions that have... legislated requirements on that, but you know, have you heard of anybody? Have either of you guys heard of anybody with this one dumping the Treasure Hunter keys with real money to get the wills to have a chance of getting this?
No, I haven't heard of anyone really dumping like too much cash into this. I know that they were more inclined to do that for the Aurora because it was the first iteration of the event. Now this is the second one. People are kind of more hesitant. I don't know if you guys realize on it as well, but this time it's actually, it's funny that you mentioned like the rates and stuff, the fact that they don't have to disclose rates and things like that. The Aurora promo ran slightly differently, where the cost of a present was, I believe, 200 Christmas paper.
Yep.
And paper was gathered at a rate of, you know, 25, like 25 was the awarded amount of paper.
It was like every average 2 or 3 minutes, right?
Yeah, whatever that cadence is. However, this time, the presents are worth half what they were. The wills.
Okay.
The wills are actually only worth 100, and the actual amount that you get is 50 instead of 25. So they're worth half as much as they were, and you're actually also being awarded double. And this leads me to think that the drop rates for these soul dies are absolutely horrendous, and actually receiving one is so extremely unlikely that, you know, like the numbers just don't, the fact that they don't have to give us numbers is extremely frustrating on this.
Yeah, because you're paying for the, you know, you buy keys, you're paying for the wills as the primary item, and you have a chance at, you know, getting all your, you know, bonus XP stars and lamps and whatnot. And then the wills are just a method of gameplay outside of that because hey, you're getting it through gameplay, so you don't have to. And with that, I feel like this is also the other thing that makes it a thorny topic on the Clue Scroll side, is that, you know, there is that element of microtransactions to it. And you said it best yourself that, you know, hey, congratulations, Jagex, you're making a killing off of this. This is what you're supposed to do as a business. But at the end of the day, what does this say in particular with this time to the Clue Scroll community? And I feel like this one, the topic of microtransactions ties back into where we were on the Clue Scroll side of this, and you know, I want to get your thoughts on this as well, Stormy.
I feel sad for the Clue Scrolling community, because this is, you know, this was their reward space. This was what they had And if this same path continues from Jagex, looking to make money, which they're a company, they have to. But if this exact same path continues where a new die is introduced every 6 months into the game and Clue Scroll is excluded from that entirely, I can all but say over the course of the next 3 or 4 years with 10 new dies in the game that the Clue Scroll community is going to dwindle significantly.
And then just by sheer numbers, the dies that were coming from Clue Scrolls get replaced by these ones, and that's where you get your value drop off. According to the wiki, it's a 75 in 1 million chance to get the gold Soulful Forgotten Belongings package that guarantees you a die.
This is probably crowdsourced crowdsourced data from 75 in 1 million. That's what's that in a smaller fraction for my brain?
I believe it is 0.0075%.
0.0075%. Right, so it's basically 10 times rarer than the most rarest ability override that we've seen on Treasure Hunter in recent months.
And based off of that, that kind of goes with what you were saying about how this whole thing feels a whole lot more rare than Aurora, and even more rare than the cosmetic ability overrides. So
I didn't know the drop rate exactly, but 0.0075 does not surprise
for
me.
For the gold package.
Yeah.
And there's of course an infinitesimally small chance of getting a die from a white, blue, or purple package,
but what's that chance? If the gold package is 0.075, getting one from a purple, blue, white is gonna be probably a tenth of that. You know, add an extra two zeros onto that 0.0075. And it's just, it's very frustrating to kind of, you know, hear those numbers and then, you know, realize how much money Jagex really is making off of this.
You know, even if it wasn't shady, it gives the appearance of shadiness, right?
And yeah.
You don't want that.
Why not just disclose on the MTX front, the drop rate, tell everyone, be open and honest. Because people are just going to figure it out anyway, like we already have.
Exactly. And lastly, I just want to say, if you're going to encourage us to gamble, can we at least gamble in game? Bring back the casino. Bring back the casino.
He's talking about the Duel Arena, folks, for people who might not be aware, the Sand Casino.
Yeah, it's entertainment, man.
The good that old Duel Arena. I never had too much experience myself with the Duel Arena, but... Yeah.
Tannis's friends used to spend entire evenings there and, you know, earn max cash out of that.
I had several years of Premier Club paid by the whole planned casino. And I never dueled once. I just watched.
There you go.
But, you know, it is becoming a trend in microtransaction loot boxes to disclose the results, because you have to do that to operate in certain jurisdictions. They do that for Treasure Hunter when those ability overrides and whatnot appeared on there.
But this
is one step away from that, and I feel like there's a case to be made with the bulk of these last wills coming from Treasure Hunter that you can in fact connect those two. And I feel like the ignorance of the people in power in governments is going to prevent this sort of thing from happening until, you know, somebody makes a very compelling case, as was initially done, to get the topic of loot boxes on the table. And I think it was Belgium, I think, that got that ball rolling.
Yeah,
so
I think before we see any kind of reform, it's going to be literally years away still.
Absolutely. And
the shadiness will just continue as well. It already has with... I don't know if you guys, were you guys familiar with the first iteration of the gold suit promo?
The gold suit.
They were like, this is a promo from about 6 months ago. They've re-released it since, but the first iteration of it, it was basically like, you spun keys and you unlocked a ruby suit, an emerald suit,
yes,
and then a gold
suit.
And once you had all three, you got the platinum suit.
Yep.
Yeah, so in that first iteration of that, even though they disclosed the drop rate specifically of the Ruby, Emerald, and Gold suit, they didn't actually also disclose the drop rates of getting the relevant chest in the first place or something like that. So the players had to do, someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but the players basically had to do some backyard maths on it to figure out the true drop rate of actually winning the golden suit. And I believe, I can't remember who did it, but somebody put it on Reddit and the value came out to be $81,000 worth of keys to be on drop rate.
That doesn't surprise me. That sounds about on par.
You know what surprises me?
What?
This is the wrong community to play math games with. That's what surprises me. Like, is there anyone who plays this game without at least one spreadsheet? I mean, come on. Or uses one?
Yeah. And
something.
But, and you know, I feel like we, that the microtransaction pendulum, specifically with Treasure Hunter and whatnot, is something that swings in Jagex, just like the community pendulum does. With that, and that, you know, we've had eras where the Treasure Hunter was trying to be very outright, and that you could actually choose the prize that you got out of a collection of, you know, three or four, and you know, we've gone away from that, but now we're definitely heading more into that direction. And you know, for the long part, it's something that just really doesn't faze me that much, because I play the game pretty much without Treasure Hunter. I, you know, just open it and click the daily keys and call it done. Yep. And I have, yep, you know, huge stacks of oddments building up, so it's not something I pay attention to. But I could imagine the amount.
Unfortunately, we're all part of the problem in that, though, because you're a metric and I'm a metric. You know, yeah, we log in, we do our daily keys, and then Jagex gets this data that says 99.8% of players are using Treasure Hunter.
Yeah,
and then they go, yeah, hell yeah, engagement, interaction. But it's more of like a, you know, you log in, you do your daily keys because they're there, and it notifies you of the fact that they're there, and it feels like an obligation to a lot of people, but yeah, they still
and,
do it anyway.
And you know, on that, one of our executive producers, Sirion here, actually, I think it was around 2018, just stopped using Treasure Hunter because he said, this is the thing that's making me log in daily, even if I feel like I don't need to log in daily. And his first reaction after about a week of that was, whoa, I'm actually enjoying RS more now.
Yeah. And so, I wish there was kind of like a, because I honestly feel as though I would not even use daily keys personally if it didn't notify me of the fact that they were there.
Yeah. Like, there have been days where I'll start my session before reset and not until a while after. Exactly. And I'll just log out and completely forget that the daily keys are there. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, unfortunately, we're all part of the problem in that, because you're never going to convince the RuneScape community as an entirety to boycott daily keys. It's just not going to happen.
And then go ahead, Tanis.
I was just going to say, like, my problem, I don't have a problem with MTX in general at all. But the one thing I do have a major problem with is I want to get what I paid for. Right. So I'm not here to gamble. Like, I want what I paid for.
Yeah. And let's be realistic. Let's be realistic. In what world is spending $80,000 on keys a realistic figure for MTX?
No, it's not.
So you want to get what you paid for, but like, it's just, and even on these recent ability overrides and stuff like that, statistically, you're probably spending $2,000, $3,000, or $4,000 to get something on odds. And that is just so, so insane. Like, people don't have these kinds of money just laying around in their bank accounts to spend. Obviously, as a community, we still get them into the game because of, you know, tens of thousands of players
aggregate, doing
the daily keys. That's how they come into the game for the most part. But the fact that an ability override, if you think about it, an ability override is costing $4,000 or $5,000 for your Azure Sunshine.
Yeah.
Like, that is just, you want to get what you paid for? Like, I'm sorry, but you're 100% not getting what you paid for with Jagex MTX.
Yeah, no,
This puts our starships in Stowe to a completely different angle that are, you know, $100, $150.
This is why I've stuck my neck out before and said, I know people are going to hate it. There's definitely a discussion to be had, but I'm the kind of person, put it on there. To me, this is, look, if this was a competitive game with open scores, you know what I mean? Like,
that would be the line for me. That would be the line for me if it was something competitive.
For me, since this isn't an individual game, I think it should all be. I should be able to go and buy a tier 92 if I want to. I've said this before. It's easier for me to drop $40 on that than it is to try to. I'll never get it in game.
And you know, the moment they do something like that, we're going to be having this discussion again.
Well, no, we won't be having this discussion again.
You're referring to the tier 80 Virtus stuff that was added, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. That was just implemented. We could go on for days.
We're not going to.
But it ties back into the implementation of the dyes on MTX.
Exactly, and that's where I see it personally
as the same thing.
Yeah, and you know, I wasn't sure how strong that connection was going to be on that. Personally, for me, based on what we've talked about here, I think the stronger angle to push on this is the clue scroll angle than the microtransaction angle, because the microtransaction angle is just so hard to push because. From the live ops perspective, it comes down to money. Yeah.
Yeah. They have to make money. It's a business. They have to make, you know, their 100 million euros a year, whatever profit they're on. And, you know, they're going to do various things and get that. But, yeah, tapping into the pre-existing clues is just the wrong way to go about it.
I think the compelling argument was the reward space. That's,
yeah. That's the angle that
it ruins the reward space for clues from here on out, because you know they're not dies from clues aren't exclusive anymore.
Yeah,
the reward space is gone.
And this has I think fostered a good discussion here and has moved me in that direction a little bit, because like I mentioned on our last week's show, we really didn't see much of the issue. So it's good to nail down the full context on this. So thank you, Stormy, for that. Thank you. With that, we're going to move on to our achievements of the week. Tanis, take us off.
All right. So let's start off with Keski Rocks with 120 Herblore on the 27th. Then we have Harlot Man with a pair, 120 Dungeoneering and Invention, both on the 25th.
Right on. Then we have Swaboosh with 120 Dungeoneering on the 25th, and Jamandy 52 is back with 200 mil strength on the 24th.
Lord Dusty with the 120 Fishing on June the 24th, and we've got Mad Digger with 120 Constitution on June the 22nd. And also, I just want to say, Big Huge Rat, I want to see you on here next episode with a 120, okay? Big Huge Rat, you got to get yourself in this achievement section.
You love that name, don't you?
I love that name.
Right on. Well, you do have a pick of the week for us, Stormy. So what do you got?
A pick of the week? So my pick of the week is it's a book series. I'm not really a big reader, but the book series that I have read and enjoyed the most is The Aragon Inheritance Cycle. So you guys should definitely give that a read. It's a 4-book series. They're all big books. So if you are a big reader, it's definitely something for you. Fantasy, dragons, not dissimilar to RuneScape in the sense of elves and all this sort of stuff. So, for RuneScape fans, it'll be right up your guys' alley.
Right on. And you were mentioning that, you know, some of these books are 600, 800 pages long. So they're definitely for the true readers out there.
Of course.
Right on.
Looks like 31 hours on the second book on audio.
This is
my style.
Right. I was going to ask you where you normally land with the length on that.
So. I was surprised.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never done audiobooks actually. So, but I would say from reading it from memory, they are definitely a significant undertaking. I'd say at least 20 plus hours, depending on how fast you read. So.
Whereabouts is the series set in terms of time and place and whatnot?
It's medieval times. Like it's old. It's definitely like the series where there's like a king and I don't want to give too much away. No spoilers.
All right. Sounds good. Tanis, you also have a pick of the week this week. Back to your classic wheelhouse on this.
I do. And I got to say, like, Aragon is actually now on my wish list on Audible. So next credit,
it's coming home. But my pick of the week this week is AEW Fight Forever. For those of you who have really missed just a campy, arcadey, stupid, ridiculous, fun wrestling game, this is a wrestling game for you. Now, it's not as deep and as thick as some of the offerings we've had from 2K, from the WWE. You know, it does have a it does have like a career mode and, you know, so on and so forth. But really where it shines is pure fun. It's just a lot of fun. So it finally was released today. And yeah, for all the AEW fans out there, so the AEW Fight Forever, you know, it's got all the goodies. You know, the classic exploding barbed wire match. That's fun.
I'm looking at the screenshots here, and it shows somebody bringing a fire extinguisher into the ring.
Yeah. And there's bass with barbed wire. I mean, that's what I say.
God.
It just can't be ridiculousness, which is
and it's
so
only
fun.
Rated T for teen. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, this it goes back to it's kind of a spiritual successor to the old No Way Out. I think it was No Way Out, a wrestling game from the early 2000s, 2010-ish era. So yeah, but we haven't seen arcadey type wrestling games in a while. You know, they're very much went down the simulation road, which is cool.
Right.
I mean, those definitely have their place. I enjoy them too. But this is, like I said, it's just fun.
And we got this thing called the Steam Summer Sale going on. This one's presently 13% off on Steam.
Yeah, not bad on a day release, right?
Yeah, not that, you know, 10% is really that much, but it. It all adds up at the end of the day if you're looking to pad your Steam library and whatnot. So thank you for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Both picks can be found linked in the show notes at update.show. So with that, let's start with what we've been up to on RS. Let's start with our guest. Stormy, what have you been up to this week on RS?
This week on RS, it's something a little bit different for me. I am struggling to keep up with the cost of running my Bic Book. So I set up my Fresh Start Worlds account, so I restarted my Fresh Start Worlds accounts to kind of put them onto the side as passive money makers, so I can offset the cost of running my Bic Book on my main to get clues. So yeah, I've been having a pretty decent time doing that the past kind of week and a half or so. They're both at a pretty good point now. We're nearly finished getting them to where they need to be. And now I'm just all efforts focused back on my main and looking to solve, you know, 100,000 clues in the next couple of years.
Wow, that's amazing. That's quite the number. If I can ask, do you know offhand how many you've solved so far?
So far, we are at 7,500 hards, 5,000 elites, 3,000 masters.
Wow, that's a number in itself.
And I'm on the low side of things compared to a lot of others.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Yeah, my clue journey has only kind of recently just started. I kind of wanted to finish everything else off first. So
yeah, and yep. You know, that's something I always see on the side that I could just dive into, but I just keep getting sidetracked with other things along the way, and it's all, you know, setting up the good travel presets and everything to that effect. And you know, for content,
join clue chasers. Are you in clue chasers?
No, I'm not.
Shout out to the Clue Chasers. The perfect podcast to give the Clue Chasers a shout out. These are the guys that are affected by the die changes the most.
Is that a French chat or?
It's a Discord.
Okay.
Clue Chasers Discord. Everything you need to know, community 20,000 strong in there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Everyone's pretty nice. And, you know, every single piece of information you could ever possibly want to know about Clue Scrolls can be found in there.
All right. Sounds good. Tanis, necromancy prep, I assume. What else?
Well, believe it or not, I ended up back to wood cutting and construction.
What?
I've been making. Yeah, I know.
Did you complete your Imkando hatchet? I know we were discussing that last week. Okay, you did.
Yeah. It took a while, but No, did fine. Well, the funny thing was, like, I was so dry that whole week until the night of recording, and then I got two pieces. during the recording, and then didn't see another one for another day or so.
Oh, but, my God.
Yeah. But yeah, no, went back to that just kind of because I'm trying to figure out just exactly how much bones I need. With
yeah, that's
how
a
many,
question. We don't I know. Mean, we don't know if it's going to be a few dozen or a few thousand.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm safe bet go 2,000 of each. That's what I reckon.
Okay.
Just to be safe. Yeah. Safe bet 2,000 of each. You could probably even go 1,000 of each and still be okay, but I'm probably over-allowing.
Yeah, and I'm definitely within, you know, I'm within that range. I just, I don't think it's going to be worth the same money with this promo, because talk about bringing, talk about cutting something up from under you. There's a lot of bones in the market now. So, yay. I was making money for a minute, and now I'm not.
Then it kind of stopped. Yeah.
Okay. Well, because you have a promo that, like, every other package is a bone, so. Which is great for necromancy prep, but not great for Tannis's bank account.
Right.
Unfortunately, they didn't put all of the bones into those packages, otherwise it would have been a little bit of a disaster for the high-end ones.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, folks, surprise, surprise, surprise for me. I'm doing Slayer. And for people who don't know Stormy, Slayer is one of my least favorite skills in-game. I have 120, and I just can't bring myself to do it. But I need to recomp before Necromancy comes out, and the Raptor's tasks there is the last one. So I've just been nailing off the Raptor's Slayer tasks in the hopes of getting the special challenges. I've got two of them done so far this week, so hopefully the third one won't be too far away. So I've just been doing that, and actually been doing them in the wilderness whenever I can to take advantage of the auto aggro that most of the critters in the wilderness have. So it's been good, because one thing I really liked about these Raptor tasks is that they're short, most of them at least, unless you get something like the Armored Phantoms or the Risen Ghosts, of course, but they're relatively short compared to the other tasks. And I think that's actually helping me, Tannis, is that by knowing that these tasks are going to be short, it makes it feel better for me. I think we might be on the way to cracking the code of how to make me do Slayer.
And then are you also using Introspection as well?
Yes. Yeah, of course. Cool. Yeah. Always set that up when I do Slayer. I actually
found out a weird little interaction there with the guardhouse. I believe there's a perk that kind of offers the Raptor to always offer you a shorter task or a longer task. That's like a perk of the guardhouse. It actually doesn't work as advertised, because if you always choose to get the Raptor to assign you a shorter task, you know, he'll give you that figure. And then if you actually use Slay Introspection, which is the relic that allows you to pick a shorter or a longer task, that shorter task from Slayer Introspection is actually shorter than what the Raptor will offer you on his short side.
Oh, interesting.
That is interesting.
So that's how you get the shortest of short tasks then.
Shortest of short comes from Slayer Introspection, not from the guardhouse perk.
Yeah. Okay. The more we know. But aside from that, I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I got one of the soul dies. Probably not going to use it, just going to hold on to it until the graphical rework arrives and they go up in price. I traded in about 22,500 last wills one day, and oh boy, there's a golden package here. So that was a surprise. First time anything like that had ever happened from Rare Treasure Hunter stuff. Of course, the folks know that.
Yeah, same for me too. I scored 2 on my Iron Man, so
okay. So you're gonna have to use those being on an Iron Man at some point.
Yeah, I considered transferring them off, but I'll leave them on the Iron.
All right. Looking forward, I guess, to building a plan heading towards Necromancy. I haven't done any bone prep like you guys have. I guess maybe that's something that should come up in July here, just to make sure that I'm not caught red-handed on Necromancy release date, which we know is the 7th of August now. But that pretty much brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks again, Stormy, for appearing on this and filling us in on the Clue Scroll side of this, and just in general, a different perspective on the Soul Die. It was much appreciated.
Yeah, no, of course. You know, thanks for having me on, and I just want to say hopefully I did the Clue Scroll community justice. I'm sure if I haven't, they will be...
Yeah, we'll hear about it. We'll hear about
live.
It.
They know where to find me, so... you know,
Where exactly is that? We'll throw that in there as well. Where are you at on Twitch?
Where am I at on Twitch? My Twitch is /RSStormy. You can also find me on Twitter there. I'm fairly active on socials too. Same thing at RSStormy. And I'm also RSStormy on Discord.
Alrighty, sounds good. And of course, if you want RSBNB update delivered automatically to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe. We're on all the podcast listeners out there, Apple Podcasts, Google, Pocket Casts, Spotify, and more. Just visit update.show/subscribe and click on your favorite one. And we're also on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB. There we post the video version of the shows and the nibbles as well. YouTube.com/RSBNB. And with that, we'll see you guys next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
See ya.
Bye.